But again, this morning, we're talking about overcoming unforgiveness. We said last week I gave you 3 points. Number one, and I won't read the scripture. You could read it, Matthew 18, 21 through 35. I've made Miss Darlene read it every service. And so I'm going to give you a break this morning. Thank you so much for being so faithful. But it talks about the kingdom of God, where there is a guy who has 20 years worth of debt, and the master comes to him and collects the debt, wants the debt to be paid. Do you know what's interesting? This is just a side note, very, very side note. Do you know at any moment a bank can call in all its loans at any given time and doesn't matter, and you have no legal recourse to stop that from happening? I know of a church that the bank went to them, and they were actually 4 or 5 payments ahead on their church building. The bank came to them and said, "We want it now. You have the end of the month to give us everything that you owe us." And they had no legal recourse whatsoever to stop the bank from doing that. The bank can call in their loans at any moment. Now, thankfully, God moved mightily on that church's behalf, and they paid the entire mortgage by the end of the month. And it wasn't because they had it in their account. It was because God supplied all their needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So what we have here is the master calling in. Can I tell you something? And if you do have a loan or owe somebody money, the Bible says that when that happens, they are the master. And we are their servants. And so we owe them a debt. And so what we have here is a debt 20 years worth of paychecks. 20 years worth of paychecks. Can you imagine owing somebody 20 years worth of your pay? And not like you have to work for 20 years and not take anything out of it. Every dime for 20 years worth of labor has to go to the person you owe it to. You got nothing else to live on. So basically what happens is the master calls in the loan. The man can't pay it. Gonna throw him in jail, sell his children and his wife, which seems a little harsh. Seems very harsh. Now I'm thankful that laws have changed since that day. Aren't you glad? All the children better be nodding. Yes, I am so thankful. And so in this, he gets forgiven. The master forgives him. Then he goes out and finds somebody who owes him 4 months of wages. And he picks them up by the throat and threatens them and is going to throw him in jail and do the same thing that was against him. And he had no mercy upon this person. Well, then the master hears about it. And he goes to the guy and he says, "You know what? I'll just paraphrase it. You've ticked me off. I've showed you great mercy. I've showed you great grace. Now guess what? You're going to jail. You're going to prison. And you'll be turned over to torment." Now, this is what it deals with the subject of forgiveness. And the way that we even got on this subject in the Bible is one of the disciples, saying, "How much do I need to forgive?" Have you ever thought about that, about somebody in your family? Don't say their names out loud. And if they're in here, don't bump them or look at them. But a lot of people are focused. I saw somebody bump somebody. And so in this, they asked, "Do I have to forgive them 70 times 7? And Jesus said, "Oh, you've got to forgive. You have got to forgive." That's how we got on the subject of forgiving. And he said, this is how the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom operates. And so it continues to go on. And we talk about, get this now, this is what it's all in reference to. Jesus paid a debt that we cannot pay back. And it says that God does not hold our sin against us, does not judge us for the mistakes that we have made. Hello, somebody. Does not hold our mistakes against us. Aren't you thankful for that? Oh, I am so thankful that I do not get judged by my mistakes. Because let me tell you something. We'll look at sin and we'll judge sin and we'll say one is worse than the other. But God says there is no such thing. Breaking the law of God when something what the world would consider small is the same to God as breaking the law that is something we would consider big. There's no different. There's no punishments greater or higher or smaller or lesser. Now, there are repercussions that are higher or lesser in this earth if we do certain things. And so there are repercussions that we might have to face. You know, you can max out your credit cards and then find out that God didn't want you to do that. Repent. And then when Visa and Master call you, you tell them, hey, I am so sorry. Forgive me. I didn't know that it wasn't God's plan for me to do this. I did it, but I would like you to erase my debt now, because now I have the true knowledge of God on the inside of me. Master, Visa, American Express, they don't give a rip if you serve Jesus. They don't care. They are going to want you to pay your debt. If you were a sinner when you racked it up, and now that you're saved, they don't care. They're going, the famous movie line, show me the money. That's what they're going to say. They don't give a rip. They're not asking you to show Christian love or grace or mercy. They're saying, show me the money. And then there's fake people that will call you and tell you that they got, you know, the cops on the way. Have you ever heard that? Don't nobody raise your hands. They're going to get their money. And then they'll sell it off and somebody else. But, you know, when forgiveness, what I'm saying is you may have been forgiven, but there also may be repercussions that do come because of your actions. Hello? And so, but this is the deal. Jesus is saying that we can forgive because the price that was paid. And I realize that a lot of us in this place have gone through some horrible times. We have had some bad things happen to us. And I've heard people tell me at times, you don't know what so-and-so did to me. And I would say you are absolutely correct. I don't know. You don't have to tell me what you've gone through. But what I am telling you is you have to forgive. And the reason you can forgive, because people have told me, I can't forgive. Yes, you can. You can forgive, and let me tell you why. Because Jesus died on the cross, and he has forgiven you a debt that you could never pay. And he's telling you, this is the same comparison as Jesus forgiving 20 years of debt and you holding on to 4 months worth of debt. We have the ability to forgive. And if we do not, bitterness will take root. And the reason God wants us to forgive is for our own benefit. Let me see. I wrote this down, and I got it off of a non-Christian website that talked about the stress of unforgiveness and what it causes. The stress of unforgiveness can cause depression, anxiety, pain, sleep problems, autoimmune disease, digestive problems, skin conditions such as eczema, heart disease, weight problems, reproduction issues, thinking and memory problems, moodiness, irritation, anger, loneliness, isolation, frequent colds or flus. And this is, you can find all this information at helpguide.org, and it deals with emotional and physical health. And so these are just some of the things. And God knows this. It's in your best interest to forgive. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There are things that have happened in my life that if I thought about them long enough, I will still tear up. I will still cry over the subject. And, I'm not telling you that all the pain that has happened to you will be released overnight, but it will get better. It will get better, and we'll get into this today, but you don't have to set yourself up to continually be abused by someone. If there is physical abuse, get out, get out, get out. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Get out quick. You're not meant to be in harm's way. You or your kids, it's not meant to happen that way. God never intended for you to be that way. And so if there is something like that, my statement is always, get out. Go. Do not stay in a relationship like that. Now, Ephesians 4:26 states this, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. 27, neither give place to the devil. The Passion Translation puts it this way, but don't let the passion of your emotions, oh my goodness, can we talk about emotions? Emotions, you can't trust emotions. I love them. I think emotions are fun. Y'all all act like we're just so serious, Pastor. That's not a northern voice. I'm sorry. Like, I be like we're just not as excitable as y'all people in the South. Us northerners. I have actually heard that excuse. We just don't praise like you do, Pastor, and y'all people. What do you mean, y'all people? What do you mean, y'all people? And I've heard this. We just don't get emotional, which is a lie. It is a lie. I've seen you at football games. I've seen you at hockey games. I never even knew polka, you bunch of polka people. I didn't even know what was going on. First time I saw people dancing to polka. Even at a hockey game, roll out the barrels at the UW. That's fun to watch the whole thing go crazy. And then at the UW football game, jump around. And they don't even feel the spirit of Jesus Christ Almighty, and they're able to muster up some praise. I think the people of God should be able to muster up something that doesn't have to involve with a dead pig wrapped around a ball of air. Don't get me wrong, I love my sports. And I shout just as, well, no, Andrew, he's not here this morning. They're traveling. But don't ever watch a game with Andrew. He'll break stuff in your house. So I expect him from now on to praise and break stuff in the house of God. But our emotions can get us in trouble. Our emotions can mess us up. I love emotions. I love them. I love feeling in love. I love that feeling. I'm coming back here because I can't see my wife's face, which I love. There are times, and I am sappy. I am cheesy. I am all these things. Jesse is none of those things, but I am. And I will run after her and say, let me love you. And my kids will run. They're like, no, Daddy, that's enough. I'm like, no, it's not. And Ellie will tell me, you're hurting me. And I say, love hurts. It hurts, baby. Love hurts. And, you know, and I show these emotions, and I love them. I love feeling, and I love when I'm talking to Jessie, and then all of a sudden she does this little smile or something, and I forget exactly what I'm talking about because it just reminds me, I'm in love with you. I know. I told you, I'm sappy. I'm cheesy. I'm like an extra big pizza, extra cheese. It is. It's true. And so I love these emotions. I love feeling them. I love having them. I love roller coaster rides. I put my hands up, my feet out the side. You're not supposed to do any of that stuff. But I love it. I like all of these emotions. And, you know, it's like the changes of weather. I like all the seasons. You may not, but I do. I enjoy the fall. I enjoy the winter. I enjoy the spring. And I am okay with the summer. Me and summer's okay. But the rest of them I like better. Why? Because I grew up in Florida and it was always hot. So I like the other things. So our emotions can get us in trouble. The Passion Translation, like I was reading, says, don't let your passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Can I tell you, there are people in jail today because they let their emotions, their passion overtake them. Hello? And not just, you know, people with bad attitudes or that were headed that way anyway. I mean, there's been people in traffic that have acted in a manner that put their butts in jail. And don't tell me, please do not tell me I'm the only one that's been in traffic and just thought, I got full coverage insurance. I have full coverage insurance. I pay the bill. And this lady is about to find out why I have a big SUV and a Prius shouldn't cut me off. I know I'm the only one that thinks that way. I will tell you, this is a real, real story. And I have changed and God has delivered me. But I put my blinker on, had plenty of space. And the young lady behind me in a tiny car and me in a full-size SUV sped up to make sure I couldn't get in. And that's when that thought hit me. Full coverage insurance. Came right on over. Brakes, horn, and sign language. And we were at the stoplight. I just rolled my window down, waved, said, thank you. And then she yelled some other things. I'm not saying I was right. I truly believe I was wrong. But my emotions, hello, could have got me in trouble. Could have got me in trouble. They would have never proved it was on purpose. But they could have got me in trouble. Your emotions can get you in trouble. There are good people. There are people who thought they were doing the right things over abortion clinics that are in prison for the rest of their life. There are ways to fight certain things, and that's not it. And so, at this point, there are people that are in prison for the rest of their lives that are good people, that are awesome people, but they let their emotions overtake them. Wow, it really got quiet in here. And so we cannot let our emotions overtake us. Now get this. Let's look at the scripture one more time, because I want to read verse 27 in the Passions. Let me continue. Don't let it lead you to sin. Your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you or be fueled for revenge. Now notice it doesn't say don't get angry. It says don't let anger control you. Don't let it control you. Get angry and sin not. But you know, don't let it control you. If you take that bait, if you chew on that, there's a hook in your mouth that is hard to get off once you allow anger to control you. Oh, have you ever acted in anger and then snap out of it? And you're like, how was I able to ever let myself go that far? I am a Christian. I've given my life to Jesus. God has renewed my mind, and I let myself get that far. Why? Because we let our emotions and our anger take control of us for a period of time. We are redeemed from that. We are set free from that. I'm not saying you ain't got the right to defend yourself. I think you do. I think the Bible's very clear on that. I love me and I love my family in a well-appropriate way. And if you try to hurt them, I will defend them. If it's just me and my family's not there, I'm still going to do it. I like me. I like me a lot. I was talking to somebody this week and they're like, what are you doing? I said, I'm just hanging out by myself. They said, maybe your family will come back soon. What are you talking about? I like me. If I get really bored, I'll tell myself a joke and I'll laugh hysterically because I'm funny. And sometimes I'll even say it out loud, which may be a sign of insanity. Someone told me, you lost your mind. I'm here like, or you're out of your mind. I like this. I heard this recently. You're out of your mind. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm just out of yours. I just don't think like you think. I may be out of your mind, but I'm sane and in mine. And I like me. And I really think you should like yourself. You should have a good time with just you. You should be okay by yourself. I'm not saying you need to be an island by yourself forever or for long periods of time, but we're made for fellowship, redemption, righteousness, relationships. That's part of who we're called to be, is in relationships with God and with His people. And so in this, we can't let our emotions control us. We can't let anger control us. Verse 27 in the Passion Translation says, don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. What does it call him? The slanderer, the accuser. He will accuse you. He will accuse your brother. He'll accuse your mother. He'll accuse your sisters. He'll accuse every person you're connected to. He'll accuse your boss man or boss lady. He'll accuse your co-workers, and then he'll accuse you. He'll tell you everybody's against you. Everybody, this always happens to you. And then he'll come in and accuse you. You're so dumb, it happens to you every time. You set yourself up for it. And then you can't believe the accuser. He's called the father of lies. So guess what? If that is what the devil tells you, the opposite is true, because he is a liar and can't speak the truth. If he says you're so stupid, it means you're so smart. If he says that you're never going to make it, it means you are going to make it, because he is a liar, pants on fire. That is the devil on the telephone wire. That's him. He is a liar, and everything he says is a lie. So if he tells you something, and so many Christians running around, the accuser told me this, and then we cry about it all day long. Why? Because we believe the accuser. We believe the liar. You know what? If people lie all the time, I have a hard time believing them. Why? Because they lie to me all the time. If the devil tells me something, I'm going to have a hard time believing him. Why? Because he's a liar. Not only if he's a liar, but he's the father of them. He has a lot of baby lies running around. Illegitimate father. Running around, giving lies all over the world, and then just leaving them. Causing havoc in their way. Have you ever seen somebody with the kids that just let them run around a store and break crap? That's what the devil does. He's the father of lies, and he lets his little minions run around and break stuff in the store, and then says, excuse me, and walks out and leaves lives destroyed behind in the wake because we believe the lie. Stop believing the lie. Look at your neighbor and say, don't believe that lie. The word for devil here is the word diablos, which means false accuser and slanderer. His very name, the definition of his name, is false accuser, slanderer. So So every time he says something, you could just say, well, that's the false accuser, slanderer right there. Everything he says is false and accusing and slandering. When you hear something, does it bring you closer to God or does it kind of separate you from the plan of God? That's the quickest way to find out who it came from. God will correct his people. Does that bring you closer to God? Absolutely. But then there's an accuser who tries to separate you from God. You got to ask yourself, is this bringing me closer to God or is this bringing a divide between me and the plan of God? And if it's bringing a divide between you and the plan of God, you need to recognize the slanderer has been found. Now, we have said that God takes forgiveness so serious that it is absolutely shocking. It's in shocking how much the issue of forgiveness is. He has a zero tolerance policy. Zero tolerance. If you haven't forgiven, zero tolerance on the subject. Because this is what happens. He says it turns us over to our torment. It turns us over to be imprisoned. It turns us over that we can't. We are willingly walking into chains. We are willingly putting ourselves in bondage. We are willingly causing all this stuff, giving access, the enemy, giving him access to our life to cause sickness in our bodies, to cause skin problems. All the problems I read, these are the attack of the enemy due to bitterness and unforgiveness. If you allow that in, you know what? And you won't be able to hide it long. People are just going to know that you hate. You are an angry person. You are a person full of bitterness and hate. It will be known and you will not be able to hide it. You may be able to mask it in the beginning, but it will come a point that it becomes, you allow that to take over and that's what spews out of your mouth all the time and you won't be able to help it. And you'll tell yourself to stop it. You'll tell yourself you're not going to be that anyway, but until you give it to Jesus, until you repent and turn from those ways, until you allow the Holy Spirit to heal your broken heart, it's going to spew out. It's going to separate you from the plan of God for your life. It will separate you from the God's people that are supposed to be in your life. It will cause havoc in your life. And you know, when the master, it turned him over to prison, it wasn't, I've read this story and I always thought, how can God take forgiveness back? How can God allow that to happen because somebody didn't forgive? Well, it's not that God's allowing, it's God is saying, if you don't forgive, this is the path that it will take you down. Don't walk down the path. Get off the path of bitterness. Get off the path of unforgiveness. Get on the path of forgiveness. And some of you might say, I've held on to this for a long time. I don't even know how to get rid of it. Well, I'm going to help you today to get rid of this anger, this bitterness, this unforgiveness in your life. Now, some of you, I've told this story many times, and I'll use it again, but there was one time somebody asked me about someone. I didn't even know I had a problem. I didn't even know I was holding on to something in my life. And somebody said, how's so-and-so? Just as soon as they said their name, I threw up a little in my mouth. I mean, no, I'm not, that is not an exaggeration. I'm not trying to, prove a point here. When they said their name, I literally, and tasted it. I mean, just instantly, heartburn and stomach churning. And I said, well, you know, I really don't know. I really don't know. And then after I was done talking with them, I thought, man, there's something in my life I didn't even know was there. I didn't even know this was here. And I remember immediately, I didn't wait. I said, Lord, I forgive this person. Help me to forgive them. And I was going to the scripture where God asked him, do you have faith? And he said, I do believe, Lord. Now help my unbelief. That's where I was. I believe you can help me, God, but help my unbelief. I'm in a place where I need to let go of something, and it seems very hard. It's so sneaky, I didn't even know it was there. So now I have found it. I want it out. Help me, God, get rid of this. And can I tell you something? I was delivered right then and there, and I hadn't had to deal with it again, and I'm so thankful. But I'm telling you, you might say, oh, no. Now, look, you don't. That was just an experience. You don't base your life on my experience. So what I'm saying is you don't have to go home and go, I knew I had something, and now you're searching your whole life trying to find something that you, am I in bitterness to the phone company because they put me on hold for 2 hours? You don't have to search your life. If you don't know it, it's probably not there. Now, if something popped up in your mind, you may need to ask for forgiveness and move on and, you know, help God, have God help you walk that out and what that looks like. But God does not, he zero tolerance to forgiveness, for unforgiveness, excuse me. And number two, I said it was pretty shocking how unforgiveness seems from God's perspective. Jesus gave his life to forgive you. And you're telling me you can't forgive a pain in your own life. He died for you. And you know, I think about that. I think about that, and we'll, I might mention this again, but I think about the death. Reading the story, reading God's experience in His Word. The fact that He was stripped naked in front of an entire crowd. And in that crowd was His mama. Humiliating. Humiliating. It's one thing to be stripped in front of your peers. It's another thing to have mama and daddy or your family there. And He had some of His disciples there. He had His mama there. He had His supporters there who supported Him through everything. Friends that were like family to Him. His family was there. And now He's got to stand naked in front of all of them. He was beat. His beard was plucked from His face. He was spit on. He was slandered. He was called all kinds of things. He was beat beyond recognition every time He was whipped. Now these whips had pieces of bone and glass in them that when they would hit, they would let it cut through the skin and then they would pull and it would rip through them. And that is what He dealt with. The Bible tells us that He was not recognizable. And if you read the accounts of what happened to Him from a doctor's perspective, it says that His bones and His ribs cages were showing. His backbone was showing. And you could see bone through. His lungs were punctured. And they go through all the stuff that He went through. And that His lungs, He was having shortness of breath. Because with wounds like that, your lungs begin to fill up with fluid. And when He was hanging on the cross, He would have to push up. That was the whole point of the cross, is it was a slow death. And you had to push up to breathe. And they didn't sand the cross down, so it was a smooth finish. Nobody ever hung on the cross and said, "Oh, I'm so glad y'all sand that down so I don't get splinters in my back." No, that was the point. It was a painful, painful experience. And can I tell you this? I know I don't have to tell you this. I know you know this. But the Jews did not kill Jesus. The Romans did not kill Jesus. If you want to know who killed Jesus, look in the mirror or turn your phone on and take a selfie. It will show you who killed Jesus. Jesus died because of my sins. I am the reason He was stripped naked. I am the reason He was beat. I am the reason that He was humiliated before mankind. I am the reason He was mocked. I am the reason He was spit on. It was my fault. It wasn't no one else's fault. It is all of humanity. We all take a piece of the action here. It's our fault. It's my fault. I'm the reason. And so God is telling me that He paid a debt that I could never pay. And am I going to hold on to 4 months worth of debt that somebody owes me? Am I going to hold on to 2 years of debt that somebody owes me? Somebody might have hurt my feelings or done something evil to me. Am I going to hold on to that and not forgive? Or am I going to be able to let that go and get out of the bitterness, to get out of the pain, to get out of the emotions controlling me? There are people who will not get into a relationship and they will cry. Or they crave a relationship and they get into a relationship, but yet all their guards are up. And look, I'm not telling you to be stupid. Be smart. I remember, you know, counseling family, and they're like, "This always happens to me. I always pick the wrong person. Blah, blah, you know, I always. And I'm very clear. I might be very sweet and loving to y'all, and I am. I'm sweet and loving with my own family, but I know them better, so I speak to them. I'll cry with you 2 or 3 times about the same subject, but there's going to come a point where we're going to have to make decisions to get over it and stop making those decisions. And I remember telling my family, I said, "Everything you've told me, the only thing that's common is you. You always. Stop always doing that. Stop it." "But no, stop it." We don't go there. Stop it. Let's get out of it. "But this happened to me." No. We don't go there either. We definitely don't go there. "But this happened." No. And I realize that there are things that we went through that affect us greatly and that we hold on to. But we cannot allow our past to hold on to us so tightly that it affects our future from coming to the point that God has called us to be. You will never be able to control my outcome with God. You may be able to affect me. You may be able to bother me. You may be able to cause me some eternal pain and emotions. And you may be able to cause our relationship to never be the same again. Absolutely. But you will not affect my ability to forgive you. Because I am not going to lose sleep. I am not going to lose a calling. I am not going to stay out in the desert for 40 stinking years. That was better than the first word that came to mind. I am not going to allow myself to be in torment, imprison myself, and miss some blessings of God because somebody did me wrong. I'm not allowing that. We as people of God should not allow that in our lives. Oh, you know, we're talking here. It's like, oh, well, Pastor, that sounds real easy for you. It hasn't been easy. It has not been easy. There has been some painful things that we have had to go through. Individuals, family, all of it. But we're going to get into the part now of how to get over all this mess. One, I've got so many points, it's sad. But let's just go over all and we'll see what we can get to. So, let's talk about forgiveness. What does it mean to forgive? One, it means forgiving all debt and bringing the balance to zero. And I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about emotional pain, a problem that me and you had. That problem is now zero. It means you don't owe me an explanation. I've had people, let me explain. You don't have to. You don't have to explain. I already forgave you. I've had people do this. I've had people come to me after years of a problem and say, I need to ask your forgiveness. I'm like, no, you don't. I already forgave you a long time ago. I didn't hold that against you. I had somebody, I'm trying to remember, I don't even remember how many years after the problem was. Somebody came to me and said, hey, I just want to say sorry how I acted. I was out of line. And I was hurting, and I hope you can forgive me. And my response to them was, I already have. I forgave you the moment it happened. I know you were hurting. I know you were in a bad place. Now, let me say, it didn't change the fact that it bothered me. It didn't change the fact that it ripped my heart out. It didn't change the fact that it upset me. It brought tears to my eyes. I was emotional about it. It didn't change that at all. But what it does change is that they don't owe me anything. They don't owe me. If I never get somebody to come to me and say, I am so sorry, that it doesn't affect me. I can still move on with my life. I can still do the call of God. It will not arrest my development. It will not stop me here. It will not imprison me. There are people. Do you know there's a psychological term, which I will not remember the name of, but there's a psychological term where kids are hurt at an age, and development-wise, they never get past that age. There's still part of them stuck at that age. Why? Because it arrested their development. It stopped them from being able to grow up. They stay in this bubble because they didn't have the ability or the knowledge or the know-how of letting something go. And until they do, they will stay at that level. There will be a part of their brain, a part of who they are. They will always, if it was when they were 7, will always be 7 years old. And they will revert back to that. Anytime there's a certain pressure applied to them. And so it has the ability to stop us from moving forward. But we, and that's why God is so serious about forgiveness. That is why God is so serious about bitterness. It's because it can stop you from moving forward. It can stop you from moving into the promised land. And so, in the word here to forgive is the Greek word aphemi, and it means to send away. It means to send away. I forgive you, I send away the debt I feel you owe me. The debt society says you owe me. Because society will say, I'll make you pay for it. Oh, yeah. You can be in my life, but you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. Now, I've been very clear about this. If you break trust, it takes time to restore that trust. I'm not stupid. If somebody, I've told this before that Bob Fritz, that I use him because I'll never get any emails from him. I'll never get any bad emails or why did you do that? Why did you look at me wrong during service? I'll never get that. And I've always said that if I went to Bob Fritz's house and he punched me in the face, busted my nose, and he immediately apologized. And so if he told me that he had a problem and I forgave him, if I went to him again and he did it again, I'm probably not coming back a third time. Why? Because I'm not going to let him continue to hurt me. I'm not going to allow him to continue to use me. I'm not going to allow him to continue to bruise me. Just because you give forgiveness does not mean that there is restoration. Just because you forget, that's why there's two different words for this subject. There, forgiveness does not mean restoration. There are some people that you forgive that their future with you will never look like your past with them. There are people I've had in my life that my past with them was great, but my future will never imitate that because they have done something at a level that I can't trust them. And they're not either willing to restore that trust, not willing to work on that trust. And if that is the case, or they have something in their life that they refuse to let go of that I cannot be around. And so that my friendship, if we've had a great friendship with someone and there's something that they hold on to that I can't allow in my life, there will be some distance put in between me and them. And that is only wise. Thank you for that resounding amen. Now, point number two of forgiveness. Permanently forfeiting the right of reproach. I am never going back to this. I will never disgrace you with this, and I will never use this as a weapon. Now, this is talking about not only forgiveness, but restoration. Again, I've been very clear, and I'm going to continue to try to be very clear because I want no one to walk out of here and say, well, because I have forgiven somebody, I got to let them back in my life. No, you do not. No, you do not. You're welcome. And I think that's been the fault of the church for a long time. Saying that they have to be abused. There have, you know, Creflo Dollar, I actually pronounced his name correctly, says in early years of ministry that he was counseling a lady who was being abused by her husband. And he said, I repeated the garbage that I've always heard all my life. He said, I told her this was her cross to bear and God would be faithful. He said, the next week she was dead. Her husband beat her to death. He says, there's not a day that goes by in ministry that doesn't haunt me. Because I should have told her to get out, and I didn't have an answer for her, and I repeated the garbage that I've heard all my life in religion. I'm going to tell you, that is not what you are to do. That is not your cross to bear. Jesus bore the cross so you wouldn't have to. And so what it means is if there has been, I am not going to use, if me and my wife got in a spat, which we never do, and if we did, it would be my fault immediately. But if we did, she forgives me. And she doesn't use it in a weapon later on in another argument. She doesn't let this build up. And then all of a sudden, you know, I do something wrong. I left the seat up. God forbid, you know. And it was dark. And she fell in. That's scary. That's scary stuff. You know. And then she doesn't come out, flip the lights on. You always do this. And not only do you always do this, but you remember 2 weeks ago when you did this? I just know it. Blah, 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 blah. No, she's not holding something that she has forgiven me of against me later on. I know people who have said, I just can't, anytime a problem happens, I know what happened the last 2 years of our marriage because they bring everything up that went wrong. That is not forgiveness. That's loading your arsenal, waiting for the right moment to pow, 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 pow.
Yep, that's right.
Some people are like Tommy guns. The moment a problem comes up, they're unleashing everything they've got. The Bible tells us when we forgive, that's not how we do things. When there's restoration, we don't use it as a weapon to hurt them. Now, number three, we permanently forego all public and private judgment. I am not going to call you names or talk about you. And when people come up to me and say, well, you know what, you and so-and-so really had a hard time, I'm not going to use that as a place to talk negative about the person I forgave. I choose personally, and I believe this is how the body of Christ should be. I choose personally to look at what God calls them. Look at the good that they have done. I've had people in my life that are no longer in my life, and I don't recall them for the bad things they've done. I don't recall them for the hurt that they have given me, but I recall them for who they're created to be. I recall them for the good that they have done. And there's somebody, and I'm thinking of right now, none of the rest of you are thinking of. You may think, I know who you're talking about. No, you don't. You have no idea. She knows. Oh, if she thought about it long enough, she knows. But in this person left, cut everything, a relationship off overnight. Cold, just no more, no more. And my statement, and it did make me mad. It made me hot as fire. I couldn't believe that that's what they did. And I remember thinking, it took me a week. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to remember them for that. I'm going to remember them for everything good they've did. in my life. They were a major role at one time. They helped me. They blessed me. And that is who they really are. That's who God created them to be. And that is how I remember them. I have nothing bad to say about them. Because what they're dealing with right now is not even who they are. And it means we do not hold any of that against them. We're not going to say bad about their name. Now, if somebody asks you facts, and you know, if you have to go to court about something, you and the judge or the lawyer ask you what happened, you don't say, well, I choose not to talk bad about them. No, there are facts that have happened, and you can talk about facts. But what you have to ask is, what is your motive? Is my motive to talk bad about them? Is my motive to hurt them? Is my motive to spread rumors about them? Because there are people who know the right people to say something to that they know for sure it will spread through the whole community if I just reach this one person. And what I want is to look good. What I want is people to feel sympathy toward me. And what I want is not to be shamed. Because if I don't strike first, they're going to say their part, and then I'm on the defense. I had to have had people tell me, if you don't get in front of this, you're going to be on the defense. And I said, I don't defend anything. I'm not defending nothing. I'm going to let God defend. He does a better job than I do. I'm not defending nothing. Those who know me well. Those who don't, God bless you. Now, in all of this, there are ways or people try to deal with unforgiveness or talk about people, and that's not what we do. You got to ask what your motives are. Now, I got three more points. Are you ready for these? This is what forgiveness isn't. Forgiveness does not mean I lose the right to self-protection. If somebody broke into your home with weapons and said they're going to kill you, and they say, I just want to ask for forgiveness, you don't have to, oh, well, since you asked for forgiveness, it's okay. No, you have the right to defend yourself. Not only do you have the right, the state of Wisconsin recognizes with Tassel doctrine that you have the right to defend yourself. God recognizes you have a right to defend yourself. You can protect you. You can protect your family. You don't have to be a target. There are people that you can choose not to have around you. There are people in my life that I choose not to have around me. There have been family members that I have had to go to and say, if your attitude stays this way, you are not allowed to be around me and my kids. You're not allowed, because I will not allow that to get into my family. I love you with all my heart, so I'm asking you to please not do this, because I want you to stay a part of my life, but the choice is yours. And so there are some people that you need to protect your family from. You need to protect your mentality from. You need to protect your peace from. You need to be serious about that. Point number two, what forgiveness is not. It does not mean I have no basis for confrontation. There has been somebody in my life, and I'm going to tell you this, that we had a confrontation. And honestly, it wasn't a big deal. Honestly, I can't even remember what it was. I even went to them and asked them, do you remember what this was about? And they're like, no, I don't. And I'm like, I don't either. So it couldn't have been that big of a deal. But I remember asking a question, and they told me the truth. And I got mad at them. And they respond, you can't be mad at me if I tell you the truth. I don't remember my exact response, but it was something like this. Oh, yes, I can. Just because you told me the truth, you think that protects you? You think that controls my emotion? No, it does not. Just because you said the truth doesn't mean I can't be angry with the truth. There's a lot of truth that I'm angry at. If we talked about it, if we talked about the world of politics, I'm sure there's a lot that I would be angry about. If we could talk about sin in the world, I'm sure there's a lot that I could be angry about. There's truth out there of how children are treated around the world, and it boils my blood. It causes me to be angry, causes me to support organizations that go in and protect them. It causes me to want to make sure those kids are safe. Doesn't mean just because somebody, well, I told the truth, you can't be mad at me if I told the truth. Yes, I can. There is, if I forgive you, does not mean that I don't have confrontation with you. It means, like, if we're going to work on restoration, like I said with my family, I will not allow this in my life. I want you in my life. I've had you in my life since I was a child. I want that to continue. But if you don't change, I can't have this anymore. And that person, well, you can't get mad at me. This is just the way. No, I can be upset. I love you. I want to restore my relationship with you. But if you keep that, me and you are just not going to be what we should. We're just not going to be. So forgiveness means I have no ought. I'm not going to hurt. I'm not going to slander. I'm not going to talk back. I'm not going to go to family reunions and say, yeah, you know the Moores. And the reason I'm using y'all is because I actually have Moores in my family. My grandmother was a Moore. Did I ever tell y'all that? Yeah. Well, my grandmother was Moores, and so we're practically family. I haven't traced the bloodline yet, but we're practically there. And so, you know, I don't go to family reunions and say, well, you know, I ain't seen the Moores in a long time because they act this way. And I told them I can't have them around my kids if they don't clean that crap up. I can't do it. Can't do it. You don't have to talk about it. You don't have to slander their name. You don't have to bring up situations. You don't have to be negative towards somebody. You can let things go. You can give direction, and if they want to restore things, they can work on it. But it even means when they're restoring, I don't have to let them in immediately. Let me tell you something. If you were in an abusive relationship and they said, baby, I want to fix this. I want everything to be okay. Okay, you can. But we may not see each other for 3, 4, 5 months. You may be able to call me every once in a while. You may be able to text me once every 2 weeks. But I'm just not going to give you complete access to my life again. Not going to happen. You can work your way for restoration. But I forgive you. I forgive you. But I will not allow you to hurt me or my kids.
That's it. That's it.
We have confrontation. Just because you forgive somebody does not mean there's no cause for confrontation. My last point on what forgiveness is not, it does not mean there should be no punishment or consequences. There are people who are truly sorry for what they did. They have repented, and I truly believe they'll never do it again. But some of them still go to jail. Why? Because there was a price that was paid. Can I tell you, this was in Texas. Terrible, 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 terrible thing happened. A mom went berserk. Her husband and kids, she took care of them. In a horrible, horrible way. George W. Bush was governor of the state of Texas at the time. The woman gave her life to Jesus and was preaching the gospel. She was actually on the Christian Broadcast Network and TBN and all these networks preaching the gospel from prison. And I believe her life was reformed. I believe it was changed. But she took the life of 3 other people. There is a mom that will never see her son again. There is a grandmother who will never have her grandkids ever in their life again. And all these organizations, they sent out mass letters and emails trying to get Christians to pressure Governor George W. Bush, President George W. Bush, but governor at the time, to release her, to not give her the death penalty. And George W. Bush let the judgment from go. And she was executed. And I understand she gave her life to Jesus. I understand that, and I believe that it was real. But there is a consequence to pay for your actions. It does not mean that you have repented that there is no jail time. It does not mean that just because you repented that all the problems are going to disappear. Sometimes there is punishment. Can I tell you something? I love my kids. And I look around at the world the way it is today, and I refuse to allow my kid to be a victim. I refuse to allow my kid to not be able to cope. I refuse to allow my kids to have to be put in a room with puppies and be licked because they can't handle the stress of somebody saying things that they don't agree with. I refuse to allow my kid to be 7 and respond to a problem like she's 3. I refuse to allow her when she's 14 to still respond like she's 7. I refuse to allow that. So there are going to be consequences for their decisions that they make, and they will have to deal with them because I am not creating a victim that can't keep a job. That will not be my kids. So for their best interest, I will make decisions to try to lead them in the right direction. They will make mistakes, just as I did, just as you did, just as anyone else did. And they will have to pay consequences for those mistakes. Just because they come to me and pat those beautiful, beautiful eyes and make that precious face that they can at age 5, 6, and 7 and say, Daddy, I'm sorry. And let me tell you, everything in me wants to say, well, we can be done with this. But that's how we get people in prison. It's because they never have to change. And the Christian life is all about transforming into the image of our Son, Jesus, the Son of God. It's about changing our life into His image. My children's life has to be changed into the image of Jesus Christ. And I will take, as a parent, every step necessary to cause that to come into place. I will do everything as a daddy to create an environment for my kids to choose the right decision. And it will be tough sometimes to sit on the sideline and watch them make a decision that I know is going to fail, that is going to send them down a path that will be painful. And I'm still asking God, help me. Help me to know when to intervene and when not to. When to let them be their own person. And it's hard. And I can't say I got it down. And I only have a 7-year-old as the oldest. So I have a long way to go. But I'm asking God for every help that He can send me. Every piece of knowledge He has. Because you know where we have the story of the prodigal son. God never went and got His son out of the pig pen. He let him stay there. The son had to repent and turn. And the father was waiting. The father was waiting. And when the son came home, he hugged him. He threw his jacket off. He took his ring off. He killed the fattest calf and threw a party for him. But the pain of the father, he had to wait. He had to wait. And so forgiveness does not mean restoration. Forgiveness means that I let go of the pain and the bitterness. I let go of that bitterness. I let go of wanting them to die. I let go of wanting to destroy them. I let go of sitting in bed at night thinking of ways to make their life hell. I let go of all of that. And some of us will have to say, God, help me let go. Help me get back to peace. Help me get out of torment. Because your decision to hold on to unforgiveness will torment you. Let's go before the Father in prayer. Father, we thank You.